You see, Janice and Ava singing this morning. Always enjoy that. Love seeing families and hearing families sing together. Numbers chapter 13. Yes, last week Pastor preached out of Numbers 12. And yes, I wrote this sermon while he was preaching. Just kidding. Kind of scared me when he said Numbers 12. It's like, whoa, back off there, buddy. A little close. So we're in Numbers chapter 13. We're going to draw a parallel this morning between Numbers chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. We'll be there in a little bit, but I want us to look at a very familiar story, and sometimes looking at a very familiar story can cause us to drift off, but stay with me. I always told my guys out at the seminary, I taught homiletics, I said, you don't have to be good, just be short. And so that's my job. Anybody was at the wedding yesterday, 15 minutes from start to finish? They said, this is the best wedding we've ever been to. It wasn't because of nothing I said or nothing I did. It was just because it was short and they were ready to eat. And so anyway, I'm not sure it's going to be short, but I will say it's going to be the Word of God. Chapter 13, matter of fact, let's just skip over to verse 26, if you will. Verse 26. We'll go back and read some more here in a minute. But I want us to look at verse 26 through 33. And here's the story of God giving the land to the Jewish people in Israel. And, of course, we see here that they're going to go in and spy out the land. They send 12 spies, one per tribe, and you can look back on those, how they picked those. But I want you to just notice some things that's going to be said here, and then we'll make some application. Verse 26 says, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron to call all the children of the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, saw the children of Achan there. And that was, of course, that was the giants of the land. It says, Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And verse 30 says, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, and we are all able to overcome it. One person spoke up and said, we can do this. Then the rest of them, the Baptists, had to speak up. Verse 31 said, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able. Right? So I bet they said that with a feeble voice. We just can't do it. To go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, the land which through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in there are men of great stature. They're all tall. It's a basketball team. Verse 33, I just preached a sermon called Grasshopperitis. And that's what they get right here. Watch this. This is a sickness you can get. Verse 33 says, and they were saw the giants and the sons of Achan, and which were come of the giants. But notice what it says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Here are the children of Israel who have been promised a land, and we're going to go back and look at a verse here in a second, but they go and they spot this land, and of course we know that 10 of them came back and gave an evil report. Joshua and Caleb was the only ones that gave a good report and said, we can do this. But the rest of them, they whined and complained about the land not being exactly what they thought it should be. By the way, if you brought back a cluster of grapes in between two sticks, two people having to carry one cluster of grapes, I'd say that's pretty good land. I mean, that's saying, man, this land, yeah, it flows with milk and honey. Sometimes we can get like, how's life? Well, it's just so rough. I'm living in a nice air conditioner. By the way, our air conditioner went out this week. I will never complain about air conditioning ever again in my life. It got 85 in our house, and I thought, it's time to move. We're moving. Get the kids, put them in the car. We're going to a hotel, right? I mean, it's 85 degrees, you know. But, you know, we see all that, and we forget what all God has done for us. Go back to the first verse there in chapter 13. I want you to notice some wording in verse 2, verse 1 and 2. And I want us to focus on one area specifically this morning, but I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that thou may search the land of Canaan. Now I want you to notice the Bible here. It says, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now notice what he says. There's a past tense here. He says, which I gave them. By the way, God in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 20 through the Abrahamic covenant had said, I have given you the land. And now I want you to just hold your hand there in Numbers, but we're going to go over to Deuteronomy, the next book. Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 1 and verse 20. I want you to notice what happened here, because when you read Numbers chapter 13, it almost seems like God had an idea of y'all going out there, or Moses having an idea of y'all go spy out the land and see whether it be good or not. But when you read Deuteronomy, it gives us a little more info that actually the people pulled themselves and said, you know what, we shouldn't just go hop on in this land. We need to do a reconnaissance of this land. Now notice what happens in verse 20, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, and I say unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doeth give unto us. Notice that. He give unto us. This is what he has given us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Notice what he says here. Go up and possess it. Notice God didn't say, now go over there and look at it and tell me what it looks like. Now God's going to say it in Numbers chapter 13 because he's repeating what the people said. He says, you want to go your own way? I'll let you. But notice what he says. He told him, he says, go up, possess it. And the Lord thy God, thy fathers, have said unto thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Verse 22, and you're come near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send a man before us, and they shall search us. Notice that. Search us out, the land, and bring us word again. By the way, a bunch of scaredy cats sitting there going, I don't want to do this. Let's get a council together. Let's let them go over there and try out the land. Notice what it says. And it says, and again, bring word again. By the way, I must go up, and the cities shall come. In verse 23, he says, and the saying, this is Moses, and the saying pleased me well, and took me 12 men out of there, and they turned and went to the mountain of Issachar. But here's Moses, he says, you know what, yeah, that's a great idea, folks. Let me ask, you know, it'd be kind of like this. I'm trying to get going today, but it's hard. It is a late night. And trying to get my traction. But kind of be like me asking you, now, everybody, give me your opinion what I should preach today. That would be bad, really. For some of you, it would be real bad, right? Because if somebody was mad at you, they say, you know what, you need to preach on them. But we don't pull the people, right? And that's what Moses is doing. Moses now is saying, okay, well, what do the people want? But here's the thing. It didn't matter what the people wanted. God had already given them the land. It was, and so this morning, I'm going to preach on this subject. It's already done. There's too many people sitting around waiting on God to do something, and he's already done it. And we'll get in that here in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day, God. And Lord, I sure do need you today. Lord, I need you to take control of my heart and my thoughts and my mouth today. And Lord, just help me to be a vessel that's unto honor for you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would be with the hearer today. I pray that you'd open their ears and their hearts. And Father, whatever you speak to them about today, may they act on that through faith. Lord, we love you, and I want to lift you above everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to Numbers chapter 13, if you will. We'll be there the rest of the time. And I want you to notice a few things that, of course, and matter of fact, I'll just read this to you, but in Genesis chapter 35, verse 12, it says, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after will I give the land. Here's what God is saying in Genesis 35. He says, I've given you the land, but also the next generation is going to have the land. The next generation is going to have the land. And so God has already told them multiple times that here is a land that I have given you. And God tells the Israelites, he says, go and possess it. But so many times when you look at things through human eyes, here's what happens. You become a grasshopper. Right? And you become small in the eye. But when you look at it through the eyes of faith, here's what happens. You realize you can't do it, but you can realize God can. I want you to notice Israel not claiming the land was three things today. Number one, I want you to notice it was a cowardly decision. It was a cowardly decision. We see that in verses 28 through 33 in our text verse. Israel wanted to go about with their own plan. They wanted to neglect God's plan. And what began to happen is that, notice what he's, and I'll just read it for you, but in Deuteronomy 1:21, he said, neither be dismayed. But in verse 20, look at what he says. Go back to verse 20. He says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and ye be of good courage. Notice what he says. He says, you be of good courage. In other words, I want there to be an absence of a cowardly behavior. I want there to be an absence of fear in your heart. And they made a cowardly decision. They made a decision that would keep them out of the promised land that God had prepared for them. Can I say also saying to us, when we make a decision without faith, we make a cowardly decision. You know, we make a decision by what we can see instead of what God sees. Sometimes in our life, I know it's hard to do, but we just need to pump the brakes a little bit and make sure God's with us and we're with God and make sure we're not on our own. Because when we're on our own, we will make dumb decisions. We will make cowardly decisions. They said, no, we can't go up. We can't. Look at these giants. Look at these walled cities. We can't do this. But you go back and you read what God had told him. He said, listen, I will fight for you. I will take care of the Amorites and the Jebusites and all of the Canaanites. I will take care of all of them. All you need to do is through faith is just believe that I can and that I will. And so many times we make cowardly decisions because we fail to believe God's word. We fail to activate our faith. But faith is not a word. Faith is an action. I use this illustration a lot, but I can say I'm a surgeon all day long. I can get me a white coat and get a badge put on my... But listen, I'm not a surgeon. Everybody said amen? You would not want me working on you. I'd be like, what is that? I didn't even know that was in there, right? And you would be in bad shape, I promise you. But listen, so many times people beat their chest and they wear the badge of faith and they say, oh, I'm a man of great faith. But listen, they have never shown any act of faith in their life. They have shown cowardness in their life when God has given them something and God has called them to do something. Listen, too many times, I heard the story one time ago. He said a guy was driving down the road and he said he knew the Lord was dealing with him about going into the ministry. And he said, Lord, he said, if you really want me in the ministry, let a deer jump out in front of me. Deer jumped out in front of him. He said, all right, Lord, if you really mean that, let two deer jump out in front of me. Two deer jumped out. He said, all right, Lord, if you're serious about this, let three deer jump out in front of me. Three deer jumped out in front of him. He said, all right, Lord, if you're really serious. And about that time, he said, a deer ran inside of his vehicle and he ran him off the road. You better be careful. When God's telling you to do something, you need to do it. Don't be a coward about doing what God's already told you to do. Listen, here's the thing. He said, I'll fight for you. I'll provide for you. And that's what he was telling the Israelites. Listen, you don't have to go in there. When they went into, remember the first walled city that Joshua took them to? Remember, it's the city they're talking about. It's Jericho. It's a great walled city. And here they go into the land. And here's what Joshua said. We can't do this, but God can. The people, and when he gave them the strategic attack plans for this, he says, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around. It's going to fall down. They're like, Joshua, are you okay? And sure enough, they figured out that it wasn't them who was going to have to fight this fight, that it was God who was going to take the walls and tear them down, and God was going to give them the victory. All they had to do was just obey and trust God through faith. Sometimes people come to me sometimes and they say, Brother Wiggins, how do I know if this is God's will or not? And I usually say this kind of jokingly, but it is true. Does it make sense to you? And they go, no, that's probably God's plan. Because if it makes sense, it's probably your plan. It's definitely God's plan for me to, yeah, because I'll be moving to Hawaii and I'll have a nice home. But it's the plan that goes, I don't have a clue what God's doing. This plan doesn't make sense. Exactly. That's usually God. When God told me and my wife we were moving to Texas, I said, uh-uh. And whenever he made me drive through Dallas and Fort Worth traffic, that was in 1997, by the way, that was a long time ago, I told my wife, I said, uh-uh, we're going back to Florida. I like it when you don't pass people, but every so often, and you give them the little wave. Here, it's like, but I knew in my heart God was calling me somewhere that didn't make sense to me. And if I had not followed God, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, and Lord knows where I'd be. And not that I'm a great person, it's just I serve a great God who had to get my attention the hard way. Don't make a cowardly decision. Make a decision by faith. But notice number two, it's not only a cowardly decision. Number two, it was a crowd decision. It was a crowd decision. Go over to chapter 14 just real quick. And notice in verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 14, this was a crowd decision. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children," notice what it says, "and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness." Here they are complaining about what God is trying to do in their life. There was 11 days journey from where they started to where they would have entered into the promised land. 11 days journey took them 40 years. Why? Because of their lack of faith. It was a crowd decision. It was a decision, and if you can look back and write this down, but in chapter 1 and of Deuteronomy, it talks about the same thing, is that the crowd said, let us get together 12 guys. Let us send them over there, and let us get a report of this land. Let us spy it out. But yet God said, just go up and possess it. Just go. We get so aggravated sometimes with Balak, the way she, if she, her sight's real bad, and she sees like a crack in the sidewalk or something, she just stops. We're walking along, right, Miss Judy? Miss Judy walks her lot, and we'll walk on. She sees a crack. She's like, she's done. She's done with walking. We're like, come on. Come on. And we're trying to encourage. Why? Because and sometimes there's not nothing there. It's just a shadow or something. I'm like, come on. And you know, we have to go grab her hand. And she steps like this. I'm like, there was nothing there. And then sometimes God reminds me, I do the same thing. Sometimes there's a shadow across my path, and sometimes I just like, I don't want to go, right? And I'm trying to do this, and God's like, come on. But so many times, here's what happens to decisions in mind of your life. Let me go ask some other people. By the way, I'm not against counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, right? But you don't go ask the lost world that's murmuring and complaining, well, what do y'all think? I got to admit this. Please forgive me. But I'm going to say it. I'm saying it, babe. Pastor came to us and he says, what do y'all think about the two services? I said, I don't like it because I got to be here twice. Selfishly. We had to get music for two things. Pastor says, well, let me go ask some people what they think. I'm telling them, Pastor. But I'm telling them me more. Well, he goes and asks the first crowd. Well, what do you think they're going to say? It's kind of like asking people that are eating vanilla ice cream, do you like vanilla ice cream? Yes, we like vanilla ice cream. I said, go ask all the singers and all the workers that have to be here, right? And I was being nice about it. But it was that kind of same way. And I find myself doing the same thing, right? Whenever I have a decision to make, I find the crowd that will agree with me. Hello? I mean, if I say, Lord, and there again, the Lord's called me to do different things in my life. And the hardest thing is when God called me from churches that I pastored. Hardest thing. Something that a lot of church members don't realize, when we pastor a church, you become our family. When we leave that church, it's like leaving family. You're having to take your kids away from their friends and their, you know, our family doesn't travel with us. And we're thankful for that. Especially mine. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I would love my parents to travel with me. But you know, I mean, you think about it. Is that you have to leave? And sometimes when God's dealing with you about leaving the church, and maybe sometimes there, it is in there that you're wanting to leave or something like that, you go find the friends who agree with you. Hey, I want to leave this. Oh, I'd already left a long time ago. That's good. I like your advice. Hey, what about this? I don't like people. All right, we're in the same group. Let's join together. Told somebody the other day, I'm going to Wyoming. There's only 500,000 people in that whole state. Let's all move. Praise the Lord. There's that many people. There's 2.6 million, I think, in Tarrant County. Hallelujah. Wyoming, here we go. Who wants to go? No, but we're getting a bus together. And you think about it. So many times I try to make a decision, and I think, who would agree with me? Right? Me and my wife, we love Mexican food. Love, love, love. I could eat it every day, all day. Thank God for Mexican food. I'd rather have that than a hamburger. I just love it. You know what I do when I ask, whenever I want to eat Mexican, I ask my wife, what you want to eat today? Because I know what she's going to say. Right? She says, I'd like to have some Mexican food. Well, I guess I can do that too. Right? Because I want the crowd to agree with me. Right? We all know who they are. Some of you, right? You know, and there again, if you're like a Chevy guy, I go ask you if when I'm buying a vehicle, or you're a Dodge guy, or you're a Ford guy, or whatever you may be, I'm just a whatever's cheapest guy. And whatever get me from point A to point B, I don't care what the sticker says. But that's how we do in life. And this is exactly what the children of Israel did. The children of Israel said, you know what? Hey, all of us people that are murmuring, complaining, let's get together and get a committee together and tell them we can't do it. But aren't you glad for two people that said, yes, we can, because God can. But thirdly, I want you to see this. It was a costly decision. It was a costly decision. Oh, in chapter 14 of Numbers, look at this, if you will. In verse 29, I want you to notice what God says to them. Because they would not go and possess the land. Remember, they went 11 days' journey from Egypt to the promised land. They're standing on the bank of the Jordan River. They're looking over into Jericho and the land there. And God says, this is it. This is it. You can go. And they go, I don't know if we can go or not. Matter of fact, we can't do this. By the way, if you're standing in the desert with nothing to eat, nothing to drink, anything looks good. Hello, remember the first day out of Egypt, they came across the Red Sea, and the first thing they said, we're thirsty. That's how we know they were Baptists. They were thirsty and hungry all the time. They wanted a buffet every day. And God gave them water. God gave them bread. God provided for them through this journey. And yet they were still complaining. And here they were. They got a group together and they said, look, we can't do this. We can't go into this city. And God said, because you made a decision by flesh instead of faith, here's what's going to happen. Notice what he says to them in verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save two people, Caleb and Joshua. God says, you know what? I gave you an opportunity to do what I wanted you to do and what was best for you, and you rejected it. I love what God says. It was already done. All you had to do was by faith go. But they said no, and what happened? 20 years and older. Could you imagine that day you didn't really exactly know how old you were? You were doing some quick math. Like, I'm 21. I'm not going to make it out of here. I'm going to be 61 when I die. You're going to fall in that, or some of them died obviously before that. But can I remind you something? When Jesus went to Calvary and gave his life, he said, it is finished. You know what he's telling you and me? When he went to the cross of Calvary, when they buried him and 3 days later he arose from the grave, it's already done. There's so many people in our world today who are trying to dig a well to living water, and they just keep digging. They just keep digging. They just keep digging. But yet they can never find that source of living water. While Jesus stands on the bank beside them and goes, I've already dug the well. I already have the drink of living water. Listen, all you have to do is believe in me. It's already done. Listen, you don't have to work for your salvation. You don't have to give towards your salvation. You don't have to get baptized for your salvation. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. It's already done. It's like going to the mechanic and he fixes your car, and you go out there and you start pulling spark plugs and all the, I was going to say a distributor, but that'd be an older vehicle, you know, and you start messing with all this stuff, and he's like, whoa, wait, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I thought I needed to work on it. No, I've already fixed it. All you have to do is just get in it and drive it. Air conditioning went out whatever night it was. Whatever night it was the hottest. I was in the house. I was like, it's hot in here. I was working on some vents. I was like, man, ain't there cold air coming out of this thing? So I called a guy who works on some stuff up here. And I was like, can you get out here? He's like, I think I can get you in about a month. I said, no bueno. He said, when do you need me? I said, where are you right now? I'll come pick you up. I'll take you out to eat, whatever I need to do. He said, well, I'll be there tomorrow. I was like, good. He goes up there and has to do diagnosis and all that stuff and found the problem. And I stood there the whole time because I like to learn. You know why? Because I don't want to pay that service charge next time. I can fix it next time. He gave me part numbers. I wrote them down. And I was sitting there and I was going, you know what? You did a good job fixing my air conditioning. I appreciate that, but I'm going to redo this. I would be a dummy. That would be a bad decision. Listen, don't you mess up what God's already done for you. He's already given his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Listen, you don't have to go to Calvary. God already went there through Jesus Christ. You don't have to give toward your salvation. Why? Jesus already paid it all. You don't have to get wet for your salvation. Jesus already did it for you. Jesus was already buried and rose again. Listen, aren't you glad today you don't have to work for it? You don't have to give toward it. You don't have to get baptized for it. You don't have to be a certain race to get it. I'm glad God has already done it. It's done. You say, what do I do? Same thing as children of Israel. You accept it by faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. He paid it all for you this morning. This morning, you just need to activate your faith. Listen, some of you, you know God's calling you. You know God's asking you to do something. Don't be a coward and back away from it. Listen, you need to have courage. You need to trust Him. You need to, through faith, believe what He's trying to do in your life. So many times people want to get the crowd's opinion. Listen, all you need is God's opinion. I'm not saying don't get counsel and things like that. I'm just saying, get God's opinion. You know why? Because you deciding not to do what God wants you to do can cost you and your family and the next generation and the next generation. Aren't you glad Spurgeon said, yes, Lord, I'll accept the call? Aren't you glad Paul said, yes, I'll go to the Gentiles? Don't really like them, but I'll go to them. And by the way, he loved them. And that's why we're here this morning, because Paul said, yes, I'll do what doesn't seem right, but I'll do it. Doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to do it, Lord. What's God wanting you to do? God has something for each and every one of you. That's how he shows us he loves us, because he's willing to use any of us. You realize we're all broken in some way? You don't believe that? Come ask me. I got many broken pieces. My mom used to love putting together puzzles. I would rather be stabbed in the leg with a butter knife. I'm not lying. You put a puzzle in front of me, I'm like, oh, I can't sit still long enough. I start hammering them in there, making my own puzzle. My mom was, oh, she'd get that puzzle out and take the whole dining room table. She'd just be in there just enjoying her day, you know. She loves it. She still does. And boy, she's putting that puzzle together, and I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm like ready to run somewhere. I mean, it just bores me to death. I'm like, you know, and probably when I get older, I'll be putting together puzzles with a crochet needles in my hand. And I already got the rocking chair. I sit on the front porch now, watch traffic, so I'm kind of getting there. And, you know, you sit there, and my mom put those puzzles together. You know why? I'm not patient enough. But I realized something. We're all just a puzzle God's putting together, and we got to be patient with Him. He's just putting pieces in place. And sometimes we're like, come on, hurry. That piece goes there, and we go, yeah, it does. Yeah, that piece goes right there. Put your hand over it. Anybody ever did that? My mom's like, would you help me? And I love doing the out corners. Those are easy. They have one flat side. Got that. But still, sometimes you're like, this piece looks like it goes here. And sometimes in mind of your life, that's what we try to do to God's will in our life. This is where I want to be, Lord. I fit right here. I'm perfect for this position. God says, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I go right here. I'm perfect. Thank you, God. I got it. God says, no, that's not where you need to be. You need to be over here. You're like, well, I don't like this. Good. Because I like it. And if God likes it, then guess what? We're going to like it. It may take us a little while, right? I love Texas now. Except for this time of the year. Don't kind of like it, but I love it. You know, and I always thought Texans were the most prideful people I ever met in my life. Y'all still are. But that's okay. I still love you anyway. But listen, I wouldn't trade where God has me today than anything in this world. I thought whenever I was pastoring, I thought, boy, I'd never go back and be an associate pastor. That's below me. I'm telling you what, after I pastored 9 years, I would have been a janitor and been happy. If that's what God's will was. Right? This week I was not an associate pastor. Me and Tyler and some of the other guys were movers and sweepers and cleaners. You know what? I just want to be wherever God wants me to be. Because I know right where He wants me to be is the best place to be. How about you this morning? Maybe there's somebody here. Maybe you're just trying to. I've heard this said before. Preacher, I'll get saved as soon as I get my life cleaned up. Nope. It's not going to happen. It's like having a water hose with no water and you're trying to wash your truck. I said your truck. You're just spreading mud around all you're doing. You're just moving it from one place to another. You need the washing of the water of the Word. And that's what God will do to you. He'll clean you up. He'll make you whole again. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for the day You've given us, God. Thank You for Your mercy and grace to us. And Lord, thank You that it's already done. Lord, I don't have to go out and buy my salvation or earn my salvation. I just have to accept it through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I pray today be the day of salvation. I pray, dear God, that You would just work in their heart and give them the faith that they need to trust You. And Father, I pray for those here today, God, know that You're calling them, that You're trying to give them direction in their life. Lord, I pray that they would not be like the children of Israel, but Lord, that they would be like Joshua and Caleb, that Lord trusted You and believed that You could. And Lord, that we would activate our faith through that. We give You all the praise, all the glory, for what would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.